We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The following is a presentation of Learfield. Welcome to Duck Insider.
Our whole athletic department, there's a level of expectations of success.
Throw, catch, touchdown, Oregon.
He can run and slam.
This is back out for a three. Left wing is good.
In the air to center, back at the wall. He's out of here.
Really excited that we get to rep our Ducks and hopefully come back to Eugene with some championships.
Indoor track and field national champion.
Oregon repeats as the Pac-12 champion.
And for the fourth time in the last 6 years, the Ducks are Pac-12 champions.
We have so many teams that are excelling right now, and it's really fun to be a part of.
This is Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield. Presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. Live from the Country Financial Studio, here's Joey Mack.
The Ducks with another victory. This one coming on a Friday. Hope that everybody got a chance to enjoy. The bye week is essentially what it felt like on Saturday. Once the Ducks, it was already in the books. Then got a chance to watch a little bit of football, and the Pac-12 just continues to eat itself alive, doesn't it? Man, Georgie's in first place in picks right now thanks to Utah, which is just, I'm not here for that. Oregon, though, I am here for a 5-1 record, and the Ducks are still in good shape when you look up and down those Pac-12 standings. And in fact, Oregon, I think, still, we can say, the best team in the Pac-12. But of course, now the Ducks have to prove it on the road against a pretty darn good UCLA team. We're going to have a full preview of that coming up. Head coach Mario Cristobal met with the media just a little while ago, as did Joe Moorhead and Tim DeRuiter. And let me just say, glad to have Joe Moorhead back. Good news is he is trending in the right direction, recovering from what he called a emergency surgery that needed to take place. And it was great to know as of this morning that Coach Cristobal will be able to make the trip to UCLA. Excuse me, Coach Moorhead will be able to make the trip with Coach Cristobal and everybody else to UCLA. So good for Coach Moorhead. I'm glad that he's going to be making his way back. We also, one piece of news this morning, we'll have to wait until Sunday to know when the Ducks will kick off against Colorado. Looks like it's either going to be 12:30 on Fox or 7:30 on ESPN. It's going to depend on the TV selections that will be made on Sunday following the games that are played this weekend. The Ducks take care of business. You'd like to think that Oregon then would be the first choice because you want one of those top teams on one of the big-time networks if you're Fox or ESPN. So either 12:30 or 7:30 for the kickoff next week against Colorado. This week we know that it's 12:30 And it's a big one for the Ducks. On ABC, looking forward to it. Because this is a big-time matchup between Oregon and UCLA following a 24-17 win over Cal. We will also chat with Oregon soccer head coach Graham Abel today. So if you've got any questions for Coach Abel, fire away. Because his squad actually, similar to Oregon football, had a little bit of extra time because they played on Thursday and then didn't have a second match this weekend. Good talk with Graham Abel about that because, well, frankly, there were a lot of similarities and crossovers in that regard. All right, the Ducks, though, under those Friday night lights, a tight game all the way through. And I'll tell you what, you would like to win every game by like 40 points, right? 50, 60 points, 70, whatever. You'd like to just dominate in every outcome. Well, it's been tough sledding for Oregon football against Cal over the years, hasn't it? There have been some battles between these two teams, and I got to tell you, nothing surprised me on Friday night because that's the way that it's been between Oregon and Cal. It was 10-7 going to the locker room. And it felt like the Ducks could have had a lot more. And that's where I want to begin as we kind of go through this game. You're going to hear Jerry and Jorgie's recap, and we'll hear from Coach Cristobal in a moment. That first quarter field goal by Cam Lewis, who, by the way, has been having just a spectacular season, Camden Lewis has, that became necessary after a holding penalty negated a third down conversion that would have put the Ducks in the red zone. All right, so Ducks shot themselves in the foot a little bit. Later in the first quarter, Oregon turned it over on downs in Cal territory, and then the Ducks lost two fumbles in the second quarter, one by Anthony Brown and one by Chris Hudson. I don't think that the locker room halftime speech is maybe as intense as it was if the Ducks don't have a couple of those mistakes. Oregon shot itself in the foot, and it felt a little bit, at that point even, eerily similar to the Stanford game. Oregon continues to demonstrate that if the Ducks play well, I think they can beat anybody. That's probably true of a lot of teams around the country, and I think it's definitely true of teams that are top 10 in the polls right now. But Oregon, I think that we've seen it time and time again as they still search for that consistency. They didn't have that in that second quarter. And then Cal got things going and really took over in the third quarter. And I think that's when Duck fans were kind of getting a little antsy, myself included, because the Ducks had to rally following Cal's go-ahead touchdown. The Ducks did rally. They exploded down the field, a five-play, 62-yard scoring drive. And I got to tell you, the Jalen Redd catch for the touchdown and a heck of a throw from Anthony Brown. Man, talk about stepping up when your team needs you. And you know what? Jalen Redd, I think, might be one of the more underappreciated guys on this roster just in terms of his big play ability and his explosiveness. I mean, he was next level, and so was Anthony Brown on that particular play. And then a sack by Kayvon Thibodeau. Man, it was nice to have him back, huh? What a difference that he made in the second half. A sack by Kayvon Thibodeau moved the Golden Bears back on their next possession. They had to punt, and the Ducks came right back down the field and scored. 70 yards in seven plays to take the lead on Anthony Brown's rushing touchdown where he went outside and hit the pylon. Gave the Ducks the lead. So how about the way Oregon finished? Again, if there's one thing that we have seen, it's that this team can finish, but they haven't been as consistent as they'd like to be throughout a game. And I know the first thing everyone's going to say is, well, what about that Stanford game? They didn't finish that game. Well, we can have that debate because I think that Oregon certainly shot itself in the foot a couple different times. They didn't hold on to the lead. Penalties are what really, though, hurt them in that situation. So, all in all, I think that Oregon overall has finished really well, but they've got to be more consistent throughout games. So after the Ducks, though, took the lead, it did feel eerily similar to Stanford, didn't it? Because on Cal's next possession, they got down to a fourth down incompletion after six plays, but the drive was extended after Oregon was flagged for holding. And I was thinking the exact same thing that I think a lot of you were, was like, penalties at the end again, huh? Well, though, from there on, another holding call on the Oregon secondary moved the ball inside the 10-yard line with less than a minute to play. And again, it was, God, penalties. God, it felt like the same thing. But a run stop by Brandon Dorlis, a quarterback hurry by Keon Ware-Hudson, set up another fourth down for the game. And Chase Garbers kept the drive alive by completing a shovel pass to move the chains despite being wrapped up by Kayvon Thibodeau. And again, I'm thinking, God, not again. Not again. Cal spiked it to stop the clock, and an incompletion with 10 seconds left, and then a run that was absolutely stuffed by Braden Swinson and Noah Sewell set up another fourth down. The Ducks brought a massive pass rush, a huge blitz. Noah Sewell was credited with hurrying Garbers into one last incompletion. Ducks stood their ground. And Cal, you got to give them credit. They marched down the field, and again, Oregon, shooting itself in the foot with some penalties, led to things being eerily similar to that Stanford loss for the Ducks. Anthony Brown, though, scored a rushing touchdown to put the Ducks up 24-17 in that game. Defense was on the field with a chance to win it. D got it done this time around with a big fourth down stop, but penalties made it feel a lot similar. Are you finding a pattern here in my recap of this game? It felt eerily similar. The difference is this time the Ducks were the home team, and, well, the home team won. I think that being at home in environments like that, situations like that, with crowds behind you, can really make a difference. I certainly felt that way. But a couple big takeaways for me. The offense never seemed to get that rhythm going, but they rose to the occasion when they had their backs up against the wall. And as you'll hear from Mario Cristobal in just a minute, that's what this team has done so well. But how can they perform better so they don't have to perform like that and they don't have to get their backs up against the wall? I think that's going to be the big question throughout the course of this week. No Alex Forsythe, the Ducks thought that he was going to be able to give it a go, wasn't able to. It looks like they do expect him to be back upcoming for the matchup with UCLA at 12:30 on Saturday. By the way, a 10:30 pregame show for us on the Oregon Sports Network. And I think that having Coach Moorhead in a different spot, literally, also mattered in this game. Coach Moorhead was in the booth rather than on the field. First time since 2010 that he has called a game from the booth. Different perspective. Certainly things change. And now that the Ducks have kind of gone through that, you'd think that heading into this next game with UCLA, maybe things are going to be a little bit different. So more of our takeaways and some of the final stats. But first, how did Jerry and Jorgie call it? Our game recap here of the win over Cal.
Here they come. With two receivers out to the left and the option pitch, a great play. 40, 45, 50, dive. Lowers his head and powers it to the 45-yard line. And back to throw again off of play action. Hit as he throws. It is. Is that hot? Yes, it was. And the snap and give it a dive. He's going to go up the middle. 5, 4, 3. Why not get a touchdown? Travis Dye. First down and 10 at the 20 of Cal. Brown back to throw. Some time for the end zone. Open! Catch made! Touchdown, Oregon! What a throw by Anthony Brown. Boy, he threaded the needle there, didn't he? Here's the snap back to throw. Brown steps up, can run, and is going to. Outside of the 5. Inside, did he get the pylon? Yes! Touchdown, Anthony Brown! He got it to the corner and reached the ball to the pylon for the touchdown. And back to throw. Garbers chase. Throws incomplete. Jerome McKinley III and Noah Sewell both came on blitzes. And Garber had no chance.
Jerry and Jorgie on the call. I tell you, just seeing it and hearing it again, that zing of a throw to Jalen Redd. That was a thing of beauty. Looking for more consistency, though. That's going to be the key for this team moving forward. I didn't mention it earlier, but holy cow, Travis Dye. 19 carries on the ground for 145 yards, a long of 24, a touchdown, average 7.6 yards per carry. Not bad. And he had 7 catches for 73 yards, a long of 39. He was targeted 8 times. We saw how much of a game-breaker Travis Dye could be in the passing game last year. I think we saw maybe the best game of Travis Dye's career in this 24-17 win over Cal. That's something for Travis Dye. Season-high 145 yards. He's now 10th place on the Oregon career rushing list with 2,367 yards. Let me reiterate that. He's now top 10 in rushing yards at Oregon, and he and C.J. Verdell have been a tandem running the ball and playing that running back position their entire careers. That tells you something about how special that tandem has been. And in fact, the only other one that really comes to mind for me, and even going through the statistics this morning to back this up, It's Michael James and Kenyon Barner. Those are the only other two guys that even statistically come close to what these guys have done. So a shout-out to Travis Dialso for becoming the first FBS running back this season to have at least 140 rushing yards and 70 receiving yards in a game, and he's just the second Oregon running back since 2000 and the first since Terrence Whitehead in 2004 to have 140-plus rushing and 70-plus receiving yards in a game. That is a great, great statistical offensive split for Travis Dye. Oregon's 12-1 when Dye scores a touchdown in his career. Also, shout out for the special teamer, Tom Snee. You guys know I love a good punter. Changes the game. Both punts for him went over 50 yards, 51 and 52. And Camden Lewis, a career long on that 49-yard field goal in the first quarter. He's now a perfect 7-for-7 on the year. Not too bad. Noah Sewell, by the way, led the team with 12 tackles, added a sack, 1.5 tackles for loss, a pass breakup, QB hurry on that final offensive play, as you just heard, and he is the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Week. Yeah, Noah Sewell's pretty good. This is just going to be a Noah Sewell appreciation show for just a moment. That guy's a good football player. And I think Oregon is sure happy that they've got a guy like Noah Sewell, particularly as the depth at linebacker has been tested. For this team now, Oregon extended the winning streak in Autzen Stadium to 16 games. That's the third longest active home winning streak in the FBS. 12 straight home win in Pac-12 games for the Ducks as well. Not bad. Shout out also to Jeffrey Bassa. Made his first career start. That is now 11 different players that have made their starting debut this year for the Ducks. And Jeffrey Bassa, the converted safety playing linebacker, he played really well, I thought. I'm hoping that we get a chance to talk with him this week because I thought Jeffrey Bassa was next level good. As we go to break and before we hear from Coach Chris Ball, though, also the light show. Pretty darn cool in between the first and second quarters. It was awesome to see everybody get into it. Coming home has become a great tradition, and the light show syncing it up with your Go Ducks app. Good stuff, man. I'm glad the fans are getting into it, and I hope that we're going to have more and more fans getting into it so that we can do cool stuff like this way more often. And we could probably just listen to this song on a loop all day long, and everyone would be happy. But shout out to the light show as well. All right, we're going to come back after this and hear from Mario Cristobal, the Oregon football head coach, his weekly press conference next on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
After 2 years of construction, my wife and I finally moved into our dream home. So when a bathtub fixture broke, causing major water damage, I was glad we had the home insurance protection we needed. How do you know your home is protected? Talk to a Country Financial rep like me, Nick Simon. We can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs. Then if something happens to your home, you won't have any surprises. Need the right coverage for your home but not sure where to start? Visit TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local Country representative.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
Your daily dose of Oregon athletics. This is Duck Insider from Learfield.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom!
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. That's right. They can help save lives by simply washing their hands. Just 20 seconds of thorough hand washing after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside can help fight against the dastardly spread of germs. Armed with only soap and water and hands, your superhero can protect you, your family, and everyone out there in America land. Amazing! Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Joey Mack here in the Country Financial Studio. Let's hear from Mario Cristobal. Every Monday, he meets with the media. It's brought to you by the Moreno Valley Cancer Institute and Research Center. Fight like a duck with cancer care you can count on. Here's Mario Cristobal talking Cal and UCLA upcoming on Saturday.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. Appreciate you being here. Again, coming off a Friday night's game, having an extra day, we were able to use Sunday a little bit more effectively, a little bit more productively than usual. Had practice yesterday, and it seemed to go really, really well with the guys that we were missing for this past game. So we feel like we'll have those guys back. Alex Forsyth should be back at full strength. Was almost back last game. Last second, we had to pull him because he wasn't quite ready. Mace Funa is a full go. Questions I had on DJ James. DJ James is also full go. I know he got a little bit dinged up during the game, but he is good. And I believe the other question I have was on Trey Benson. But Trey is healthy. Trey's ready to go, and he'll be in the rotation. So that being said, questions, please.
How do you get the fourth quarter from Anthony, which has been almost off the charts? How do you get that performance on a more consistent basis over the course of a game?
Sure. Well, we got to get it from our entire team, really. Seems like when our backs are against the walls, when our best comes out, you know, there was a lot of positive stuff in the fourth quarter. You know, certainly the completion percentage, never really had many third downs, if any, in the third quarter. I'm not sure. I think it was just a first and second down type of game. So that's what we got to do. You know, certainly there's positives in the design quarterback runs. There's positives in the completion percentages. We have to work on being better in our third down game, particularly when it's certain medium to long. We have to get a little bit better in our RPO decision making. So there's some bright spots and some good play and some other areas to work on. And I think collectively as an offense, all of us improving at those things could make us a much better offense and a much more productive offense.
Coach, just the impressions of how the offense and the, I guess the communication from Joe down worked and how he was in the booth. And is that the long-term plan for him to be up there, and I guess just impressions of having him back on Saturday or Friday, I should say.
Yeah, you know, we're getting back in spurts last week and then towards the end of the week a little bit more as we have to balance it. You know, we have to obviously have him, you know, doing what he does and at the same time making sure that he continues to get healthier. You know, what he went through is certainly something that's pretty trying and pretty taxing on the body. So that's what we're balancing. I know we don't disclose all that information. He is improving, and he's improving daily. And him being in the box means that, of course, Coach Master, you probably saw him on the field. Coach McClendon as well. We do have our eyes for everything upstairs, the run game, the pass game, protections, line of scrimmage, special teams, defense, all that stuff. So it worked out well. We just exchanged direct communication with the quarterback, with Coach McClendon working with those guys.
Coach, I believe this was one of, if not the most consistent games we saw from the offensive line as far as personnel goes, not as many rotations as we've seen so far. Obviously, you'd like to have Alex there ideally, but are you envisioning, you know, that consistency being something moving forward, or is that more what you just saw from Cal?
Well, a lot of that had to do with the fact that we had some guys that were injured and did not get back until the latter part of the week. Didn't feel they were as sharp as they needed to be to play. And those guys that we play up front, we play them when we feel they've earned that time and they could really help us win. And they know that, you know, it's playing time earned. But we felt that Alex, again, we thought Alex would be ready to go come game time. He was not. And so we had to pull him, and credit to him because he really tried to tough it out. He has been. He looked great yesterday, so we expect him full speed. But both Dawson and Jackson were not able to join us till the latter part of the week and felt that they weren't at the level necessary to play winning football. You know, and to protect them, to protect the integrity of what we're doing, that's why we went with five guys that had worked together. And if there's something, in the case of something would have happened, then those guys would have been plugged in.
Looking ahead at the rest of the schedule, would you say this is the most important game until the end of the regular season?
Well, you know, we say that every single week, that the game that we're playing is the most important one because that's the one that we're playing. So that's not going to change. I mean, the opponents change week to week, but the goal and the way we approach it never does. So, and we recognize them and respect them because they are an excellent football team.
Coach, looking at that UCLA team on offense, they kind of set up their pass with their run. They've got a strong running game. What are the challenges your defense is going to see on Saturday facing that UCLA Bruin team?
Well, they do a lot on offense, especially from a formational standpoint. You guys have seen it. You know, the unbalanced sets, right? Tackle over sets with the Y being the tackle on the short side. Formation sideline, right? Formation end of the boundary. A pretty extensive quarterback run game. They do it all. You know, your duo, your double power, counter, inside zone, outside zone. You'll have your RPO game as well. You have some of those sets where, you know, three linemen go out to the hash, and you got to be ready for just about everything. But I think a lot of it gets lost in the fact that, to me, the most impressive thing they do is that they're really physical. They got a big, experienced offensive line. In fact, I was trying to count it up, if I wasn't mistaken. Their front seven on the defense is a completely senior laden. On the offense, a lot of redshirt juniors, a lot of fourth-year guys, a couple fifth-year guys. So you have an experienced, physically mature bunch, and they play that way. But the quarterback's an excellent player. The tight end's an excellent player. They have multiple wide receivers. When I say the tight end, I should include all of them, because they all can do the following. They can stretch the field, and they can also knock you back at the line of scrimmage. Very big. They own the C gaps really well. They can reach you. They can down block. Very interchangeable, and that's why you see them do a lot of the tackle over stuff. You know, they can use the tight end as the tackle, but yet pose the threat of an eligible receiver. That's difficult to match up with. So they use tempo and varied formations. They don't go all the time, but they can, and they have shown it in spurts. So there's a lot to prepare for, and they have excellent players doing it. So, again, a lot of respect for them. Looking forward to the opportunity.
Yeah, I think we saw quite a bit of Jeffrey Bossa in that game against Cal. Just your feelings of how he performed, and what did you like him in his game to play so much, you know, over previous games?
During the week, it's as simple as that. I mean, again, he was very unselfish in helping us in that transition. You know, losing those three linebackers really just depleted our depth. And Jeffrey, we had asked him, hey, can you do this? And he had to learn a whole new position. And throughout the course of the week, he earned the opportunity to start that game. It's as simple as that. And he's getting better and better. And I think I like seeing him and Nate and Keith pushing each other. We interchange those guys, and a guy like Micah Roth as well. I mean, we have to continue to get guys opportunities to play. It's as simple as he earned that opportunity. He had some really bright moments and some other ones that he'd like to have back. He's a hard worker. We expect him to get better. We expect Keith to get better, and Nate as well.
Mario, this is the first time you guys are back at the Rose Bowl since you guys won that 2020 Rose Bowl game. Is it hard to go back there and not think about the historic nature of the venue and what you guys accomplished there over a year ago?
Well, I mean, you can think about it for a moment. I think it's easy not to focus on that. I think when you walk into a place, it's hard not to for memories to be stirred up. You just have to make sure. Well, a couple things, let me add to that, is that a lot of the guys that were on that team are no longer with us. Right. I mean, we're a very young team. And in fact, I think on paper, we might be the youngest team in America. So I think a lot of those guys might have seen it on TV. It's one of the best places you can ever imagine playing or watching a football game. So, great moments there. Tremendous opportunity to be there on Saturday. So I think the focus will be completely poured into, you know, what's at hand and being where our feet are.
You've always spoken highly of Travis Mario, and going back and looking at the film even of his performance, which statistically was his best of his career. Anything else stand out from the 39-yard screen pass, the staying upright on a couple of runs for extra yards, chip blocks even to help out George a couple of times, I think. Basically, did he do anything that you either hadn't seen or were even surprised by or pleasantly surprised by in reviewing film, because that looked like his one of his best all-around performances?
Yeah, he just kept coming, you know. He just kept coming, did whatever was asked of him, did it at a high level, making guys miss and breaking tackles. You know, he just kept turning those feet, you know, driving those knees, and was able to get a lot of extra yardage. And I think that gets lost a lot of times when you watch a football game and you say, okay, it was second and four, but it really should have been second and eight. He found a way to drive through, put another foot in the ground, plant a hand, and get lunge forward for four more yards. He does all those things so well. What is not seen on camera is what he does on the sidelines and in the locker room to generate positivity, impacting his teammates, and generating energy on the sidelines. The guy is he's a special guy. Obviously, that family has been with us for a long time, and it's been his turn, but now it's like really, he's the focal point in this particular turn in his career, and he has continues to exceed expectations.
Awesome stuff there about Travis Dye, huh? That guy is truly a special, special player and a special, special family. When we come back, more from head coach Mario Cristobal. We're here on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
Dear Exit Strategy, no matter which Toyota you choose, there's an exit from the ordinary to match. See you soon, Toyota. Visit your local Toyota dealer or toyota.com today. Toyota, let's go places.
Dear past, present, and future football watchers, football is back! So consider this your official excuse for always putting football watching first, courtesy of Pepsi. That haircut appointment? Seeing the in-laws for the first time in ages?
It's been so long!
Nope, sorry, Susan, not if it's on Sunday. Long story short, after the year we've all had, we think you could use a little football watching. So crack open a Pepsi and cheer your football watching face off. With love, Pepsi. Made for football watching. That's what I like.
Dear Exit Strategy, no matter which Toyota you choose, there's an exit from the ordinary to match. See you soon, Toyota. Visit your local Toyota dealer or toyota.com today. Toyota, let's go places.
You're listening to Duck Insider. Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Back on Nugget Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union and the Country Financial Studio. A couple questions that I wanted to answer from the Facebook stream. Jeffrey, on Ducks hockey schedule, that's not a varsity sport. It's a club sport, so I'm actually not sure. I will inquire, but I'm not sure on a Ducks hockey schedule because I don't really work with those guys as much as would actually be fun to do so. I used to work with them when I was in college, and they were a lot of fun. So I don't have an answer for you on a Duck hockey schedule. Ronald, I don't know on the to be honest, I don't know. I don't have any idea on the aftermath of if someone had issues with the syncing of your phone through the GoDucks app to the video to coming home. I don't have a great answer for you on what could have been done. Asking about the prompt specifically with either a QR code or just the location, yeah, I don't know. I wish that I had a better answer for that, but I'm sorry to hear that it didn't work on those phones, and hopefully that'll work better moving forward. Let's continue to hear from head coach Mario Cristobal, the Oregon football head coach, as he met with the media today, getting ready for UCLA on Saturday.
Coach, I think in real time, it felt like what Kayvon did in the second half was really special. Having had a chance now to review it, I wonder if you can kind of put in words what you saw from him and just how that impacted the defense as a whole in the second half.
Well, you know, it's explosive power. And I think it's going to be really exciting to watch him play this week when he's knocked off more of the rust and is getting back into form. But what you saw is elite level foot, body quickness and power. The way that he affected the game, affected the quarterback, certainly was a game changer for us. In this conference, if you can't get to the quarterback in the fourth quarter, you're going to have problems, okay? Because a lot of these games, I guess around the entire country, these conference games, they come down the last couple minutes and people are throwing the ball, and you've got good quarterbacks. You've got good passing teams, good offensive lines. Okay, Kayvon certainly just, he changed it. And if you watch, I think you'd really appreciate the technical side of it. Besides that first step, besides that explosiveness, if you could just take the time to watch the technical and the fundamentals, the fundamental part that went behind how he affected the game, I think you'd really appreciate the work that he's invested in being a better player.
Coach, earlier you mentioned you have a lot of respect for Dorian Thompson-Robinson at UCLA. You know, you guys didn't get to face him last year, had Chase Griffin in that crazy matchup. You know, with him looming this week, you know, that adds a different dynamic. You know, just kind of asking for some early thoughts from you on him and maybe evaluating him.
Sure. Well, he does it all well. He really does. I don't think he's limited in any respect. In fact, he's a guy that can hurt you with explosive plays in every possible facet of the game, right? Design runs, read runs, the RPO game, busted plays where he could take off, and then he can make every throw. Really strong arm, really accurate, throws a deep ball really well. And he's in sync with his receivers and his tight ends. Okay. Play design is always going to be, right, something that you want to match up, and you want to match up correctly, at least to the best advantage that you possibly can, because he finds him. I mean, you watch him, the way his eyes are trained, you watch a guy over the years just continually get better and better and better. Excellent player, and about as dangerous of a player as you'll find in the country.
Coach, Camden Lewis has had an outstanding season. What has he done to put himself in a position to perform like he is?
Well, you remember at this time last year what these press conferences were like about the kicking game, and it takes a ton of, you know what it is, it's football, man. It's the lessons that come and go with football, and the way that it provides moments for guys to have a breakthrough and not in any way, shape, or form have a breakdown. Cam deserves a ton of credit, and not only because he's kicking the ball out of the end zone consistently and he's obviously hitting all his field goals, it's because he endured, he weathered the storm, and all he did was he poured into his craft. He just got lost in his craft. While all the noise was continuing to grow around him, he got lost in it and came out on the other side kicking butt. So really proud of him. And he'll tell you himself there's still more room for improvement. So we're looking forward to that.
I was just wondering, you know, what's your gut feeling about where you guys are? You've been so banged up. It's hard as somebody who's not with the team every day to kind of figure out exactly how good you feel about the team right now and how strong you are, knowing so many players have been injured and have gone through some adversity. Just where do you feel these guys are?
Well, it's been a challenging year in terms of that, probably more so than any organization I've been a part of. So I feel, you know, we're always hungry. We're always driven. We don't get frustrated or whatnot. You just mixing pieces on a consistent basis. So I don't know if that's, you know, an oxymoron, but mixing pieces on a consistent basis, you're not getting the consistency of guys playing side by side with each other. But you have to. And we have to get them there as coaches. That's the bottom line. There's no magical portal. There's no extra help is going to fall out of the sky. And we recognize that. So, and we've had moments where it's worked out really well and other ones where it's like, whoa, you know, that doesn't look like us. And we understand that. So kind of like we're just referring to Cam, we pour ourselves and get lost in the work of trying to find ways to put it all together so we can achieve the type of productivity that we had in moments early in the year and sometimes throughout the course of the last, you know, 4 and 5 games. So, but that being said, I feel that, you know, getting Mace Funa back is certainly a big boost. Getting Kayvon back is certainly a tremendous boost. Cause now, and then Braden Swinson, he was out as well. So you're looking at then Trevin was banged up and in and out for a while. So you're too deep at the edge position, and 3 or 4 2D inside linebackers were missing a significant amount of time. And I feel like at least in a good amount of those positions, we're starting to get more consistency. Losing Bennett really hurt, but Jamal's back and he's playing really well. Great play from Barone. Steve is stepping up. Brian Addison's a guy we expect to come and do some really good things for us in the coming week. So I feel like we got a lot of momentum in terms of the roster getting healthy going into this game. So we're excited yesterday's practice. We're excited for practice tomorrow.
I know you talked about Dorian Thompson-Robinson's ability to run, but what are your thoughts on UCLA's running backs where they go too deep with Britton Brown and with Zach Charbonnet? What have you seen from them and their ability after they put up about 260 yards against Washington the other day?
Yeah, they're the most physical runners that we have seen. They run behind their pads, big, powerful. leg drive. You know, you saw it early in the season against LSU. You know, that's when it really people really started to take notice. Well, you know, we had known that, been coming on for a while. So just really, really impressive. You know, you've got to get your defenders to the ball carriers because they typically don't go down on first contact. They're much in operation of contact plus 2 plus 3 yards.
Is there any correlation when Kayvon's available to play and Swinson's now healthy that your corners and your DBs are able to press and play a little tighter coverage? It seemed like in the second half against Cal, you guys were much more aggressive or closer to the line of scrimmage than previous games.
And some calls are, Matt, and some calls they are. And sometimes on pressure, some of these pressures require a cushion. Some of them don't. Down distance plays into it. Sometimes being on point assignment-wise shows, and sometimes playing off and outside when you're not supposed to shows up too. You know, so we've been having a mixed bag of results there in terms of what you've seen, you know, in terms of both cushion, leverage, aggressiveness and whatnot. But I think our guys are gaining more confidence in covering. You know, they certainly do a good job of practice. I've had some moments. And we're certainly, we've made that a focal point for us in terms of improving because we've got to get better at it.
At the midpoint of the season, Mario, just how do you evaluate, what have you seen from the receiving group beyond Johnny and Red in particular, just whether it's Dante and Troy and where they are in terms of their progress as freshmen getting into the rotation more, or some of the more experienced players, whether Chris or Micah, what have you, just to get more consistency on a week-to-week basis from that position.
Sure, and that's what we're looking for. We're looking for more consistency. I think it was good to see Devin pop in there last week and make some plays. That's certainly encouraging. You know, Troy really came on strong in the spring and in the camp and got banged up right before the season started, so he's starting to get back on track as well. Dante Flash, you saw him, you know, when we played Stony Brook, and he's a guy that's certainly going to help us. I think our passing game took a little bit of a step this past week, and we got to do a really good job making sure that we are preparing our guys and scheming it up so that we can continue to improve. Those guys are good football players, and we want to see them have productive days and make our offense better.
That's Mario Cristobal, the Oregon football head coach, his weekly meeting with the media on Monday. We're going to hear from Tim DeRuiter and Joe Moorhead, the two coordinators for the team, coming up later this week, because next, Graham Abel is here, Oregon soccer head coach. You had a little bit of a weekend, sir.
A long weekend, yeah.
Wow. What was that like?
It was nice. It was nice.
Did you get bored?
No. Went to the football game Friday night.
Okay.
Did a little bit of a lot of video.
Good.
So never get bored.
Never get bored.
No, okay. I've got 3 kids as well. One at 6 months.
That's actually what I thought you were going to bring up when I asked you that question. Was there's no such thing. I can't.
Yeah, a little bit of Lego building in there as well.
Sure. So. Lincoln Logs?
No, they're
Tinker Toys?
No, they're, you know, my son would throw them around. So
sure. So Legos hurt less when they get Legos thrown at you.
However, you step on them at 12:30 a.m. or 6 a.m. or something like that.
Do you say something that you can't say on the radio?
Without a doubt. The air gets a little blue.
Yeah, understood. Graham Abel, Oregon soccer head coach, is our guest when we come back, talking about his team as they take aim at the first postseason in program history. Back after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
Is that the sound of an ooey gooey cheesy crunchy slice of pizza? Obviously. But as good as that sounds, we think it can get even better. Oh yeah, that's the sound of a freshly opened fizz-filled Pepsi. The only thing that can take this flavor medley of crunchy dough, mouth-watering cheese, and savory sauce to the next level. How about another bite? Pepsi and pizza sound like a match made in heaven and taste even better. Pizza, better with Pepsi. That's what I like.
This is Doc Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
We're back in the Country Financial Studio. It's Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Graham Abel, Oregon soccer head coach, joining us. All right, Coach. So the USC game, let's quickly look back. I know that was a long time ago for you guys at this point, right?
Seems like it, yeah.
Thursday was an awful long time ago, but similar to Oregon football, you guys had a little bit of a longer weekend than you're used to. Break down the USC game for us. That's a really tough team, and you guys played them tough.
Yeah, I mean, we said at halftime, you split the first half into three chunks. First 15, they were definitely the better team. Thought we came out slow. Game got stretched. When we were in transition, we didn't connect in transition. We tried to play behind them every single time, and the spaces wasn't on, and so then they picked it up, and then they came right back at us. So we just lost control straight away. And then middle 15, the game started to even out a little bit, you know. They were up 1-0 at that point. And so then you got into the last 15 of the first half, and I thought we were really good. Started to get a hold of the ball, started to knock around, started to pin them back a little bit, and then generate a little bit of pressure. Got the corner, great service from Chai, and a really good header from Zoe. And then, you know, second half, we should have probably scored after, was it a minute into the second half? Eden got great, Kessler's crossed it, Eden's got great connection, their goalkeeper's made a heck of a save, really good save. And
it happens.
If the ball probably goes 2 inches to the left of the goalkeeper, then it's probably in the back of the net, and penalty against us, and then they got the third. But we kept on going, and when we look, but I mean, I think when you look at the statistics overall, I think we created 14 chances, they created 5. Based on what they have been doing to other teams from an overall performance standpoint, on the bigger picture, you're like, okay, happy with the performance. However, I think USC were 60% in terms of converting chances, where we were at 7%. And so there's the difference right there. So again, still learning for our group, but you know, we know at some point you have to execute.
So you're sitting at 8-2-4.
Yeah.
And just to give context, USC has been a top 10 team all year, and they arguably have the best offense in terms of statistics in the country.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're pretty good is what we're getting at. But now you guys kind of have that measuring stick, right?
Yeah.
You feel like – so what was the takeaway? Like, what did the team feel like coming out of that loss? Because you guys have – I mean, let's be honest. You guys haven't lost much this year, and you haven't lost in an awful long time now at this point.
Yeah, you win all – we try to never make a distinction between winning and losing and how you evaluate the game, because there's good, bad, and there's ugly with everything. You know, whether you win the game 5-0 or you've got to move forward – and take things away from each game to take to the next set of games. So we try never to deviate from that plan. Again, we thought as though the performance was good enough that we created the chances to get a result. If you look at the goals, we've never really been broken down. You know, any goal that you look at, there's always 5 or 6 instances along the way where it can be prevented. We got stretched on the first goal. It was a goal in transition, obviously a penalty on the second one. And then a set piece where, you know, you either win or you lose games on set pieces. The last two goals were both set pieces. One was a penalty. One was a second ball off of a corner. So all preventable. Mm-hmm. It's not like we've been shredded as a team. So that's what we do. We get those takeaways and start to prepare for the next game.
And you scored on a set piece.
We did score on a set piece. So, you know, great service, you know, from Chai, which he put it right in the zone we wanted to attack, and really good header from Zoe.
You know, so you touched on it a second ago and broke it down again there. I mean, so when I'm watching, right? All right. So take us through like what fans should be looking at in a moment like that. Like if you got like, because I think fans now we've talked so much about set pieces in these interviews with you, and I think it's been fascinating to think about all this. So the question I'm getting at here is like, Where should my eyes go when you guys have a set piece? Like, what should I be watching?
It depends. So are the team zone or the man-to-man? Okay. So which I think, you know, probably in basketball it's similar, right? Yes. If they pick up man-to-man or they play in the zone. So are they playing the zone across the 6-yard box, 18-yard box in terms of the setup? If there's a zone, which we're part zone or part man-to-man in terms of how we defend, and so, you know, is the team static? So you've got to try it there. If they're zonal, then you're trying to beat them with momentum. If it's man-to-man, you're trying to beat the man. So I think there's a lot of things that come in that we bring in from other sports, picks and things like that, that you look. And then you start to identify areas in terms of, okay, where are they weak? Where do they not have aerial presence? Is the goalkeeper good on set pieces? Are they such a good team on defending set pieces in the first phase that you want to create a second phase? So you play the ball short, or you play some type of ball that pulls them out into a certain area. The goal against Cal, where we pulled the Cal, we looked at Cal and we knew that Cal got pulled to the ball. Mm-hmm. So we pulled them out and then hit the weak side, and then we sent runners around the weak side. So you look at those different areas, and then you look at trends of teams over games, and then you try to pick those areas out that you can attack. So So I'd say, you know, off the first phase, if you're a fan watching it, look at the areas we try to put the ball in, where we try to get runners into those areas. On the second phase, you know, what are we trying to do? Are we trying to, you know, bring it around, play short, or are we we're looking to bring them out to then hit a second area?
See? This is why we bring Graham Abel on the show, right here. Oregon soccer head coach Graham Abel joining us. So you guys got the mountain trip coming up, and then you're back in the state of Oregon for your final two weekends. Before we get to that, what'd you do over this weekend? We talked a little bit about you personally. What about the team? You know, you had some extra time to recover, work on some stuff.
I think at this time of year, you have to look at a number of things. You know, obviously, there's the academic stress that's coming into it now. So how can you alleviate that thing and help them out? So we looked at, you know, we had a recovery day on Friday, nothing for the rest of Friday. They obviously had the football game Friday night, which I think whenever we have these single game weekends and it's a football weekend, you've got to let them be a student and have the social piece. Again, we sell that piece in the recruiting side, so you have to allow them to have that piece as well.
Sure.
Saturday we came in and we did a walkthrough where we just mic'd me up and walked through a bunch of scenarios, set pieces, different types of scenarios in the game. It's kind of our one last chance to paint it for the season. Put the audio with it, give it to them in video as well so they can rewatch it and do more just basic teaching.
You basically made your own scouting video. Like, is everybody hearing that? Like, he mic'd himself up and made his own scouting video.
Well,
for his team.
I give Rachel the credit for that because, you know, that was Rachel's idea in terms of setting up with the audio piece.
So, had you ever done that before?
No, we hadn't. We've used different types of video. We've used drones. We used cameras behind the goal. We've used all different types of videos. Never done the audio piece live. I've gone back after the fact and recorded over the and give coaching points and things like that. But no, that was a good way to do it because it was fresh. It allowed the questions that were asked by our student athletes, it allowed those to be answered there and then. So we did that, got that done. We were done by that, I think, 11:30, and then, you know, the rest of Saturday, Sunday, today, our student athletes had off. It gives them a chance to recover, it gives them a chance to catch up mentally, gives them a chance to, you know, get their academics in order, because again, we travel this weekend, so just a good weekend as we get ready for this final push.
Man, that's a heck of a thing, though. I'm just thinking about all the different ways that you can utilize technology to increase the teachability, right? I mean, that's what you're doing, right? It's just another coaching tool.
Yeah, you've got some people that are audio, you've got some people that are visual, and you've got, you know, those different types of learning strategies, and so you've got to try and take advantage of them all. So when you look back, there's no excuse that we didn't have the information.
That's awesome. Graham Abel, Oregon soccer head coach. All right, coming up, you guys are hitting the road. We mentioned Colorado. That's actually an earlier start time, 2 o'clock in Boulder. And then on Sunday at 11 a.m. on the Pac-12 Network in Salt Lake City. Colorado, Utah, tough trip coming up. It's a lot of miles on your student-athletes, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we've been awesome on the road. I mean, we've done such a good job. That, you know, that was, again, the design of the Texas trip to replicate these types of trips in tough environments and give us the experience before we got into Pac-12 play. So our kids have done an awesome job with it, and we'll look to continue the good work.
Colorado, what's it going to take to beat them?
You know, they've got size. They're very, very good on set pieces. Really good in terms of transition, organized. So we've got to match them with regard to that piece on the set piece side of it on both sides of the ball, have to move the ball well. They have a nice surface out there to play on. So, you know, if we can move the ball, again, get into their defending third, spend time in their defending third, allow our kind of personality players to get on the ball, then that'll give us the best opportunity.
Overall, final question from me for you. You're sitting at 8-2-4.
Yeah.
So you've won over 70% of your games. You're 3-2-1 in conference.
Yep.
Got to finish strong. How important is that here to finish strong and handle the success you're having in the right way down the stretch?
Without a doubt, I think, you know, one of the criteria for the selection committee is the final five games. So here they are, you know what I mean? And we have the back end of phase four of our season, you know, and then we go into the final phase, which is the Washingtons and Oregons, the Pacific Northwest, you know, kind of set of games. So we've just got to continue what we've been doing all year, game by game, learn along the way and keep moving forward with our performances.
Thanks for being here. Graham Abel,
thank you.
Oregon soccer head coach. Safe travels out to the mountain schools and enjoy some of that cold, brisk mountain air, huh?
I'll be there.
All right. 2:00 on Thursday, the Ducks against Colorado. And when we come back, your Cafe M 2-Minute Drill, all the storylines from Oregon Athletics. We'll wrap it up next on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
As my family continued to grow, I realized I'd have to replace my beloved Jeep with something that has, well, more seats. I'm Jason Hines, Country Financial Rep and father of seven. Whether you're upgrading from your sporty ride with no room for a car seat or finally replacing your well-loved beater that still has a cassette player, you'll want the right protection for your new car. Work with a Country Financial Rep like me and get the protection you need at a price you can afford. Learn more at TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local country representative.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
More Duck Insider coming up on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
Okay, man, this is your time. Maybe you didn't choose this, but you're here now. You're going to go out there and be an all-star caregiver. Cook, clean, be there emotionally and physically. You got to dig deeper. Drive them to physical therapy, doctor's appointments, because that's what caregivers do. Don't give up. Show the world that you're tougher than tough. Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find the care guides you need at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
To some, the sound of a baby babbling doesn't mean much. But that's not true. They're testing out vowels and consonants and trying different sounds. And by 12 months, their babbling is beginning to take on meaning. Especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Learn more at AutismSpeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Back on Nugget Cider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Joy Mack here inside the Country Financial Studio. My thanks to Graham Abel, Oregon soccer head coach, for coming in and joining us. Let's get to your Cafe Yum 2-Minute Drill. Some of the scores, schedules, everything else from around Oregon athletics. The first men's AP poll is out, and the Ducks are sitting at number 13, one of two Pac-12 teams in the top 25. And a big reason why is Will Richardson, and he is on the Bob Cousy preseason list, one of 20 players. That recognizes the point guard of the year, named for Bob Cousy. That's a heck of an honor for Will Richardson. Now, though, he's on the preseason list. He's got to continue to be on that list all season long, and if he is, I like the Ducks' chances to be pretty good. He's a preseason all-conference first-team selection. Closed out conference play last year with four consecutive double-digit scoring outings, a career-high 22 points at Oregon State in the game that clinched the title for the Ducks. Richardson helped the Ducks to Sweet 16s in each of the last two seasons, and the Ducks are getting ready for men's basketball season getting underway. Volleyball went 0-2 this weekend after battling some injuries. Matt Ulmer's going to join us on the show tomorrow. And women's golf came in a fourth-place finish at the Stanford Intercollegiate. And Ruthie Hebert, congratulations. WNBA champion Ruthie Hebert as the Chicago Sky got the win over the Mercury. Congratulations to Ruthie, the first basketball pro Duck to win a WNBA title. Your Cafe Yum 2-Minute Drill wraps it up today. Menus, cafeyum.com. See you tomorrow, everybody.
It's 4 a.m., Monday, and you're literally sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. Man, that's love. And if you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. To make sure your child's in the right seat for their age and size, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. They can help save lives by not having playdates. That's right. By replacing get-togethers with virtual playdates and video chats, they can help slow the evil spread of germs. And if your superheroes do go outside, make sure they continue their superhero wing by staying 6 feet away from others to protect everyone in America land. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
When might you be buzzed? When you suddenly love everything.
You guys, I love this song.
I love these nachos.
I love our kickball league. Ugh! I love this guy.
What's your name?
You know what I'd love?
A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzzed warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I love your car. Is this real leather?
Hey, so what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, or you can't drive high. You can run, or you can't drive high.
Friendly reminder, don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Been listening to Doc Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Oregon Sports Network.